Hello, my friends. Welcome back to the Hello Tomorrow podcast, where we discuss how the world of work is intersecting with current events. I'm your host, Josh Allen Dykstra. In the next 15 minutes, I'm going to help us make sense of the kind of future we're building and share some thoughts on how we can nudge things in a positive direction. Remember 6 weeks ago when we talked about a $1.5 billion settlement that Anthropic, makers of the LLM named Claude, were potentially going to have to pay the authors whose pirated books they used to train their models? Well, Judge William Alsup preliminarily approved this settlement on September 25. $3,000 a book, the largest copyright recovery in history. Sounds like justice? I don't think it is. What I think just happened is my fears came true. The future value of creative work was sold for pennies on the dollar. I'm afraid Anthropic, and every other AI company watching this, just learned the price of asking forgiveness instead of permission. They're securing the right to keep profiting from the labor of artists, writers, musicians forever by paying a one-time settlement that only feels fair right now because we're not yet living in the future where AI generates trillions. The companies know what's coming, so they're locking in the upside now while everybody else is still arguing about copyright. So yes, the authors are gonna get paid, but the real story here, I don't think, is about justice. It's about a massive power transfer from the creators of culture to the owners of algorithms. This doesn't feel great, but it's important for us to see clearly what's happening, and it's where today's State of the AI Union begins. Today, I want to give you a bit of a roundup on what's happening out there in the world of AI. It can be a lot to digest. It feels like the understatement of 2025. Let me bring you up to speed on the most important AI headlines from the last couple weeks. First, the WeChatification of the West. On Tuesday, Walmart announced a new partnership with OpenAI. Soon, you'll be able to open ChatGPT, tell it, "I'm hosting taco night tonight," and it'll shop for the ingredients, check out automatically, schedule the pickup, and get you your shredded cheese. This is obviously not search anymore, my friends. This is more like assistantship. They're calling it agentic commerce. It's AI that doesn't just find what you want, but does what you want. Now, around the other side of the globe, something kind of like this has actually been around for a while in a way. In China, there's an app called WeChat. It's one app that basically runs your whole life. You message, shop, bank, order food, hail a ride, pay rent, all in one app. I think this is a pretty good proxy for where AI companies want to go. Think of chat as the new interface for everything. So on the vendor supply side, it'll be a little bit like the app stores we know and love. The people who sell things, like Walmart, they'll just build a chat interface connection, which gets their stuff into the conversation so the transactions can be made. This is a big deal, at least on the consumer experience side of things. It really is going to change our experience of how we buy things via technology. And I'm increasingly convinced this is where AI goes. I believe we are entering the era of the conversationalization of everything. Basically, everything happens inside a conversation. And the goal would be to keep you in one continuous chat all day long. Now think about it. If everything throughout your day transpires in one long dialogue, it can all be remembered and analyzed for patterns, which means the tech can then become predictive and anticipatory. On the whole, there's a lot to like about this. I would love to not have to feel guilty because I forgot to pick up the yogurt for my kids on my way home, but I'm not in trouble because my AI remembered. That sounds pretty nice. Now, regarding Walmart and ChatGPT specifically, it's not entirely clear when this ability will be available to everybody. But this direction is definitely not science fiction. This is coming to a chatbot near you very soon. So when you connect the dots here, we can clearly see that all the major AI players are building something much bigger than a chatbot. It's something more like a personal assistant. It's going to remember who you are. It's going to see what you're doing, and it's going to be able to act on your behalf. Under the hood, it's like our friendly chatbot is getting a pair of digital hands. It'll be able to schedule, summarize, shop, email, design. It's going to be able to do the thing, not just talk about the thing. That's the next revolution in AI tech. The age of tech as search tool is ending. The age of tech as assistant is beginning. And we used to say, there's an app for that. Soon we'll just say, ask your AI. All right, what else is next? Some of you remember Rosie the robot from the Jetsons, the wisecracking but always cheerful house bot who handled the chores while the humans chased the adventure. Well, some 60 plus years later, Rosie's almost ready to step out of the cartoon and into your kitchen. A couple weeks ago, a company called Figure AI unveiled the Figure 3, a 5'6" humanoid robot designed for home life. It can load the dishwasher, tidy the counter, even start a load of laundry. Although folding t-shirts still seems to require a human touch. Now, it's designed to never be stronger or faster than a human. It's powered by a sophisticated 3-part neural network called Helix. And this company is backed by heavy hitters like Salesforce, NVIDIA, Microsoft, OpenAI, and Jeff Bezos. They're calling humanoid robotics a $40 trillion opportunity. They get that number by calculating the value of all physical labor on Earth. Whew. Okay, so most of us have seen enough science fiction movies, I think, to get a little wiggly when we think about humanoid robots. But here's the thing. I actually don't think this is the robot apocalypse. I think it might help unlock the future we want. And remember, this is the original promise of technology, to release humans from drudgery. In the Jetsons, Rosie may have been delightfully snarky, but she was never a threat. She was a dream. She represented a future where machines do the dull, dirty, dangerous work, so humans could focus on the things that make us feel alive, creating, connecting, imagining. So if the last few years were about teaching AI to think and talk, 2026 might just be the year it learns to actively help. Now, this is the optimistic future we were promised, not as sterile or scary tomorrow, but one that's big and beautiful. Not AI replacing us, AI releasing us. All right, let's bring this back down to earth a little, because as much as the billionaires would like it, these robots aren't showing up at Costco tomorrow. But there is an AI shift that's already here, especially for white-collar workers. A few months ago, I talked about a white-collar diaspora in my newsletter. It's in an article called The Most Important Thing We Don't Understand About AI, if you want to look it up. I'm pretty sure that revolution is coming sooner than Rosie. So let me help you understand a bit more about what this transition will look like. It's helpful to think about what our daily work looks like now, as in, what are the outputs of the things we do all day, if we're knowledge workers? Okay, for decades, our jobs lived right in the middle, in making the thing, right? The outputs of our jobs were PowerPoints, spreadsheets, reports, proposals. That was the work, making those things. But AI is simply better and faster at the middle than we are. So what's going to happen? Our value is going to move from the middle to the edges, setting up the thing and verifying the thing. we'll focus more on the beginning, right? Setting context, defining purpose, asking the right questions, and the end, evaluating results, applying our judgments, adding meaning. In short, we're moving from production to direction, from doing the thing to defining the thing. Now, if your work is knowledge work, this is the species level shift for you happening pretty much now. Now, when some of these other things come online, like the humanoid robots, we'll see another big shift into more of the blue collar work. But the story hiding behind all these headlines, I think, is that at least for now, we're seeing more reorganization than replacement. It's a redistribution of where our human brilliance lives in the overall process of work. So when we put all this together, the copyright reckonings, the conversational commerce, the humanoid helpers, the reallocation of our work tasks, I think we can start to feel the pattern. We're not just building smarter tools. We're building a new choreography for what it means to be human. The machines are learning to handle the middle, right? The repetition, the reaction, the routine. We're being invited to rise into the edges, the context, the meaning, the imagination, and the wisdom that only humans can bring. So that's my current state of the AI union. It's not about fearing the future, nor is it about worshiping the tech. It's about remembering what technology is for in the first place, to make more room for curiosity, for creativity, for life. Now, if Rosie was the dream, maybe this is the decade we finally make her proud. Not because she replaces us, but because she reminds us of what we're here to do. Because the story of AI isn't really about machines. It's about what kind of humans we want to become. If we get this right, if we design technology that regenerates energy instead of draining it, that serves humanity instead of stealing from it, we'll look back on this moment as the beginning of something extraordinary. It could be the time when the tools got smart enough for us to finally stop pretending to be machines ourselves. It could be the time when work started to feel less like survival and more like creation again. So my vote, let's let the chat bots chat. Let's let the robots fold the laundry. Our job is to build the world worth living in once they do. That's the real future of work. Not less human, more. Hello, tomorrow. Thanks for listening. See you next week.